Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today we have got a real important program for you because we're not only going to give you that oomph mentally, but we're also going to be giving you some tools to work with so that you can empower your own wellness. And that is something that, with the way things go today, that's something that's so important for us to do. Our guest today is Dr. Lynn Eldridge. We're going to be talking about the book that she and her brother put together called Avoiding Cancer One Day at a Time, Practical Advice for Preventing Cancer. Dr. Eldridge, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Now, I want to ask you, do you mind if I call you Lynn?
I would much prefer you called me Lynn.
Terrific. I want my audience to know a little bit about your background and also about your brother, David Borgeson, because he also was very much involved in putting the book together. The two of you have quite an interesting background. You graduated from the University of Minnesota Medical School.
Right.
With the prestigious Alpha Omega Alpha Honors. You completed your residency through the University of Minnesota with time in Hawaii, studying human exposure to pesticides, which is a major, major problem. And you also have been deeply dedicated to family medicine with an emphasis on prevention for the last 15 years. And you have also chosen to get really involved full-time to researching and speaking internationally on cancer prevention and nutrition. Now, your brother graduated with a Master of Science degree in epidemiology from the University of Hawaii. He's worked as an epidemiologist and research scientist with the California, Minnesota, and Hawaii State Health Departments. He also has a master's degree in physical therapy from Northwestern University Medical School, and he himself emphasizes health promotion in his clinical practice. Now, here are the two of you, very dedicated to prevention. I would like to ask you, Lynn, why you and David decided to take that positioning. So many, many physicians are not interested in that. Why did you decide to do it?
I think it actually began, and you know what's so funny is it started in a selfish way, which means even sometimes our selfish choices in life can take us somewhere. I was towards the tail end of my residency and had always been interested in cancer. I lost my grandmother at age 12 from breast cancer, and she did everything right. And it still was breaking both of our hearts. But I had a choice of either going someplace in northern Minnesota and being on call every other night in the snow or going. My brother was an epidemiologist in Hawaii doing cancer cluster studies. And I had the opportunity to go and look at a cancer cluster caused by pesticides. So we had this background where we saw, oh, we could really make a difference. And it was something very dramatic at that point. But we started thinking, what are the small things, the little exposures that aren't so dramatic that it causes lymphomas in everybody at age 35, but more minor exposures? And I carried that into practice. And as I was practicing medicine, it was so many of my patients, young patients, that were doing everything right. They weren't smoking. They weren't living on hot dogs, eating fairly healthy. My closest girlfriend, my cousin, my stepsister, my father, I watched all of these people develop cancer and thought, you know, we know that 90% of cancer has an environmental aspect to it. Only 10% is genetic. What could we be doing differently? And I started to look. I wanted a book. I wanted a pamphlet. I wanted something to give my patients and my family members and all of my friends. You know, there are some excellent things out there. The Brent's Cancer Prevention Diet, but that didn't help the men around me that were developing prostate cancer. And some things that focused on chemicals but didn't talk about diet and vice versa. And thought, you know, we really need, this isn't being done, we need something where we can look at medicine, look at the environment, look at infections, look at diet, and what little things can we do to make a difference? And, you know, some of it's so simple. And it's funny because not only is it as simple, but a lot of it's really more aesthetically pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most dramatic example of something simple is I was speaking at a cancer prevention conference in Austria, and we were looking at the statistics, and their risk of childhood leukemia is lower, even though they smoke more, which is really a does-not-compute thing for physicians, and decided to do just their own little group of us independent, you know, non-controlled study mm-hmm. of why that might be. So we went and toured a classroom, and I walked in, and I thought, okay, I'm someplace in the South at the nicest Radisson. They had huge planters with beautiful ficus and palms and ferns. And I immediately thought, okay, it's calmer. They have less stress. This is a beautiful environment.
Mm-hmm.
But talked to the superintendent, and she said, you know, we're doing it because of your research. And it turns out we spent millions for NASA to study the ability of houseplants
mm-hmm.
to absorb carcinogens in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a minor problem. The EPA said indoor air is fourth in environmental causes of cancer, whether it's the home pesticides we use, formaldehyde and pressed wood products, a number of things like that. But something as simple as having an aesthetically pleasing houseplant in each room
mm-hmm.
can possibly make a big difference.
Yes, and that is something that I think is very, very important because of all the different materials we have. You've got a quote in your book by Alfred E. Newman that is stated as follows. We are living in a world today where lemonade is made from artificial flavors and furniture polish is made from real lemons. And I thought that was just hilarious, but it's so true. It's hilarious.
True, Donna.
It is. And one of the factors that I really think is bringing so much of this into the forefront is that people, because of what I call misleading representation in advertising, have forgotten that it's healthy to open up your windows, for heaven's sakes, and to let fresh air in. It is okay to be out of doors. It is okay, you know, to be away from the Clorox and all the other things. Sometimes we try to make everything so sterile that we actually make ourselves ill.
We do, and in fact, I still have a wonderful copy of the New England Journal of Medicine a few years back where the editorial on the front is Eat Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Children that grow up with more pets, more children around in a less sterile environment are less likely to develop diabetes and a number of autoimmune problems. And going outdoors. And it's funny that we learned this from my grandparents,
mm-hmm.
who would be 100 now. But they, in January days when it was 10 degrees, they would open their windows
mm-hmm.
in Minnesota every day. Mm-hmm. And they'd also make sure everybody was sent outside. And that was the funniest thing where I just felt less protected because I realized we'd been watching all of these commercials on sunscreens. And reading the statistics, an excellent study published in one of the most renowned medical journals showed that at least 24,000 people die from cancer from lack of sun exposure in the United States every year, presumably due to lack of vitamin D.
Right.
And that's more than twice the number of people that die from skin cancer.
See, these are things we have gotten so far removed, I think, from the natural environment. It's just something where anymore, I was appalled when I realized, and I'm in the state of Washington, I was appalled when I was hearing conversations that people were having about how kids don't even walk from a bus stop anymore home. Mom and dad are there picking them up. They won't even let them walk anywhere. People have just gotten into this mindset, and so they go from one closed environment within a classroom to another environment. Physical education has been discontinued in many schools. And then I was in a schoolroom one time, actually a school. It was a brand new school, and the people that built it were so proud of it. There was not one single window in the classroom.
Oh.
Not one single window. Everything was processed air, totally contained. And first, my first reaction was, this is appalling. How can
yes.
you not have sunshine? I don't care if it's in the middle of a desert. How can you not let light into the room?
Oh,
and
it's
it was
so
somebody's
important.
Mentality, well, we're going to just make this perfect. Well, the kids get sick. They get depressed. They, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous what we have gone into, I think.
And you know,
it makes me wonder.
It's heartbreaking. And to have it published now, 2 years ago, that it's expected, and we're getting there right now, that we're going to outlive our children.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's obesity. Part of it's lack of physical exercise. Part of it, I think, is our children have lost all sense of creativity and art because we take them from one activity to another activity indoors. But in a stressful environment, but to think that we're going to outlive our children as far as life expectancy is expected to be going down now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a big prediction, and it's been written up in several of the most credible medical journals.
Now, this is for the younger generation, not the older generation, but the younger
generation. Right. It's our children that are in elementary, middle school right now are expected to have a shorter life expectancy than we do.
Well, they just need to get outside, and need to do some things. And that's what your book, Avoiding Cancer One Day at a Time, is about. One of the things that it impressed me, one of many items that impressed me with your book, is that this is filled with good common sense, along with factual information. And I really agree with the very first quote that you have in the book by Thomas Edison. I couldn't agree more on any level. The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame and diet and in the cause and prevention of disease. What a major... Now, Thomas Edison could see that years ago. If we could change that in the mindset of many doctors, in the medical establishment itself, the business of wellness would be phenomenal.
Oh, I know, and we're trying to work at it. And one of the nice things with the book is we've got 30 pages of references.
Yes.
So physicians are listening because it's published in their journals that back up everything else they're saying. But no, we're not going forward with a lot of it. We talk about having the best healthcare system in the world. We spend 25% more per person in the United States on healthcare than anywhere else in the world. Yet we're only number 47 in life expectancy.
Oh, goodness, we've dropped that far down. I was 37 the last
far.
Report I heard. We're now 47?
47 on the most recent literature we looked at. And looking at some of the others, the CDC this winter came out, and the second leading cause of accidental death right now is reactions to medications following motor vehicle accidents.
The second leading cause. That was number four.
Yeah, it's up to the second leading cause of accidental death now. And, you know, as we were looking through this, I think, and I saw it in practice, and the farther I get away from primary practice, we weren't making a difference. The definition of doctor means teacher, and we weren't taking time in teaching. As much as I was trying to and thought that I was sticking out a little bit that way, the pharmaceutical companies control so much of what's done there, and patients would come in, and you can't even charge for a visit unless you have a diagnosis, which means it's all disease-oriented. And it's assumed that somebody comes in and they get a prescription. And so many of these could be avoided by sitting down and talking about lifestyle and relationships and nutrition and activity level. And it's just been amazing the more and more we look at it. And then starting to look at the medications. The most commonly prescribed medication now for bacterial vaginosis,
mm-hmm.
which it's common infection. It's more common than yeast in women. Is listed on California's Proposition 65 as causing cancer in humans. There's alternatives available. There's a number of alternative medications. There's dietary things that have been shown in some credible studies. But the way healthcare is now, we just jump right to a prescription.
Well, my listeners are those of the mindset that they want to be more personally responsible for who they are, and they're interested in being educated. And I really think that it's an ongoing process. I had a doctor when I was 13 years old make a statement that it was going to be up to the consumer. My listeners have heard me say this before, but it was going to be up to the consumer to be educated enough to understand that they had to be responsible for their wellness. And I think you and your brother are on the leading edge of this turnaround. It may take another 50 years for it to happen, but I think the consumer is forcing it. I really do.
Oh, it is. I mean, there's less and less time for physicians to spend time with patients and more options out there. And the consumer does have to ask questions. A recent study that came out in 2006 showed that women who carry the BRCA1, BRCA2 mutation for breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, we talk about 10% of breast cancer being genetic, if they have chest x-rays before the age of 20, they're four times more likely to develop breast cancer. And some of those chest x-rays are necessary. Sometimes you need them to guide treatment, follow treatment. They can be life-saving, but so often children go in, they've got a bronchitis, the doctor's busy, quick orders a chest x-ray, you know, maybe to cover their tail, maybe just to prove, okay, there's nothing there. But it really takes parents in that case to be active consumers and say, is anything going to happen if we wait? Is there another alternative test? What a good physical exam. Mm-hmm. Give us the same results. And that's part of what we did in the book to make it practical was just give a list of questions people can ask their providers.
Yes, and that was another factor that I really enjoyed. And you talk about how cancer is a group of more than 100 diseases. More than 100 diseases that begin in a single cell, defined by the type of cell or body system involved. And it can change. A single cell can change from normal to cancerous following an accumulation of several mutations. And what I have been given to understand, and please correct me, Lynn, if I'm wrong, is that when cancer occurs, sometimes it'll take 20 or 30 years before it'll actually show to the point that it can be detected.
Right, and that's why we have to do these studies on mice and give them high doses, because if we started a study today on a chemical, we might not know for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
If it's correlated with cancer. You know, the reassuring thing when we talk about cancers, this is a really simplistic way of looking at it. But the accumulation of mutations, if you look at it kind of like, okay, maybe you need 10 or 15 mutations for the cell to turn into cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a good immune system, a lot of these cancer cells are just eaten up by the immune system.
Right.
But you know, it's not one food that you eat here. It's not necessarily one carcinogen you're exposed to. I see a lot of people who have a genetic predisposition to some form of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And a way to think about that is, okay, maybe that's two strikes out of your 15. A lot of people smoked when they were naive and young. Maybe that's a third strike. But it's this accumulation. It's never too late for people to incorporate some changes. It also kind of emphasizes that you don't necessarily need to be in an totally fanatical.
Right.
My brother and I have done some of, you know, various things in the book. At different times, we have stepped on arsenic-treated wood and a few things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a balance. You know, really working on the nutrition, really trying to avoid things you can. There are things we don't know about. Giving talks, have people who are really concerned because maybe they were exposed to something like mm-hmm. trichloroethylene in the past. But working at things you can do that we are aware of.
I like your statement in your book where you say people tend to make judgments about risk based more on fear than on fact.
Yes.
And I have had experiences like that myself. I have been around people who made very frightening statements, and your mind starts galloping like an Arabian stallion, and before you know it, you've gone off to horizons of fear that are just so expansive, you wonder, oh my goodness, is there a chance? You are automatically in that negative framework. And that's something that your book, Avoiding Cancer One Day at a Time, that's something that you and David really wanted to emphasize, is that this was for education, to understand
yes.
that there are things that you can do, that there are facilities that you can go to, and you can check things out. You have all kinds of resources, you know, that you can get to. I found one of your facts on the chimney sweeps in 1775. Now, someone may say, Donna, 2007, for heaven's sake. Why in the world are you going to talk about 1775? Because, folks, we need to understand what happens in environment. And you talked about the chimney sweep in 1775.
Uh-huh.
Tell us what happened to chimney sweeps.
Chimney sweeps, and that's kind of the first example of both an occupational cause of cancer and also something where something's absorbed through the skin. Chimney sweeps, it was found, had a really high incidence of scrotal cancer from the soot on their pants being absorbed through their skin. So it's really looked at as one of the first occupational causes. But it's also something that reminds us about our skin. And we go into the book, you know, with infectious disease and dealing with HIV, we talk about universal precautions, using gloves, being careful. We need to do the same with chemicals. Right now, only 2% of chemicals used in commerce have been tested to see if they have the ability to cause cancer. It doesn't mean we need to go and hide in a bubble, but having a pair of good impermeable gloves when you're working with cleaning solutions of any form, making sure you read and see if masks are necessary, using good ventilation. We think of our skin as this impermeable barrier, but look at all the medications available now in forms that can be absorbed, even nicotine, through the skin.
Yes.
And we know that that can happen. And it doesn't mean we need to become totally neurotic, just having a little awareness that there's not going to be big flaming orange signs on anything we pick up at the store that it may cause cancer.
You have some significant details and information, very specific points of detail with research to back it up. And one point was very meaningful to me because I know of someone. This goes back a few years. I know how deeply the family was affected. The mother of the family got malignant melanoma. And
yes.
Tanning beds. And I can remember hearing stories when I was just a tiny little girl, women talking about how research was, you know, out there. You shouldn't use tanning beds. There used to be gyms where women could walk in. And this is years ago. 40,
yes.
50, 60 years ago, where they'd walk in front of these lamps and they would get tanned. And it was really big on the West Coast. And they were warned at that time, so many years ago, do not use these. One, it affects your eyes. Two, it can, you know, if you don't have the proper protection or whatever, you'll get this with your skin, you'll get wrinkled and all kinds of stuff. And you bring the point out here. And this is for today's world. Now, we're talking about information that came out 60 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, and we didn't have the technology like we've got it today. But you say women who use tanning beds more than once a month were 55% more likely to develop malignant melanoma when other people didn't. And that is a phenomenal percentage.
It's a huge percentage, and since we published the book, another one came out on children using tanning beds, and there's a bit of debate.
Are you serious? Who put a kid in a tanning bed?
Oh, they are, and that's the whole debate now. Should we really allow children under the age of 18? But that's another interesting thing, because we're looking at sunscreens. The tanning beds, we're told they're safer because it's UVA rays. But UVA rays penetrate deeper where the melanocytes are. The cells that can turn into melanoma. And UVA rays probably are much more important in melanoma than the UVB rays. And there's been a lot of debate. We found very few studies, could not find a single study that showed that sunscreen lowered the risk of melanoma, which may change now. There's two compounds. One is Mixoral and one's Helioplex that have been approved recently in the United States that help screen out UVA rays. Zinc oxide does as well. But a lot of traditional sunscreens don't screen out UVA rays. They were just looked at as far as both efficacy and lacking carcinogens themselves, and only 17% of sunscreens out there met the mark.
Interesting. And who did that study?
A lot of this was done through the FDA. Environmental Working Group started it, but it's very well-known agencies that have looked at a lot of these that are not out on the fringe. But there's a lot of thought right now with the huge increase in melanoma in Australia that sometimes sunscreen might actually possibly even predispose to melanoma because you don't burn, you stay out in the sun longer, and you don't try to do the things like wear a hat or go inside during the peak of the day like our grandparents did.
Yes.
So it's something where we really need to look at the common sense. We looked at, in 1935, before sunscreen was available in the United States, the incidence of melanoma was 1 in 1,200 people. Now it's 1 in 84.
Oh, that's scary.
So we've lost common sense. They were doing something back then without sunscreen that made a much bigger difference than our slathering ourselves up right now.
And also you bring up some issues regarding commercial fertilizers. And you said several commercial lawn companies post signs that warn people to keep their animals off the grass after it's fertilized. Studies show increased risk of cancer in exposed dogs. I know that for a fact because one of my Scottish Terriers developed lymphoma, and we figured out that it was due to, and he died from it at a relatively young age, it was due to the fact that he had had exposure to serious toxins. And it is, this is really something, and that, you have so many good factors in here. You talk about water, you talk about, you've got some, a few recipes in here, but you have comments like, never let children handle a pet wearing a flea collar. Just, there's so many points in here of information that you and your brother have put together. And again, ladies and gentlemen, when we're talking about this, we're not talking about this to make you afraid.
No.
We're talking about this for you to become informed so that you as a consumer are going to, with your wallet, with the dollars that you spend, you're going to be thoughtful about where you put it because you want the best, not just for yourself, but for your family, for your friends, for the environment. It does make a difference because things are coming around now to affect us that, you know, our relatives and other people didn't even have a clue about because this is relatively new development, all of this chemical stuff. So everything is chemical, but this is relatively new. And I think, Lynn, you and David have done a wonderful job with this book, Avoiding Cancer One Day at a Time. Now, do you have a website people can go to? I mean, the listeners of this show are very... very computer savvy, obviously. What do you have that they can go and check out or put on as a favorite on their website?
We do. Our website is www.avoidcancernow.com, and we also we have ways of contacting us. I love email questions, and sometimes it really makes me go digging for anything. There's
great.
Still things we don't know about where we started a blog. We also listed the Silent Spring study that was released a few months back where they talked about the 216 breast cancer carcinogens in our environment.
Wow.
Over 60 of them are found in common household products. And these studies, you know, it's been argued, you know, they were tested on animals, whether they were tested on dogs or monkeys. And a lot haven't been tested on humans, but they probably won't be. It's not going to be ethical to give a six-year-old girl something that caused cancer in monkeys and see if she gets cancer from it.
Right.
So we really kind of need to heed some of those. Breast cancer, I've looked. My brother lives in Marin County, which is now, it's been called Land of the Lexus, and it's also called the Breast Cancer Capital of the World.
Oh, my goodness.
One out of four women develop breast cancer. And this is a society where Marin County has the highest percent of parklands in the United States. People are active. They're not more obese. They don't smoke more. But they do tend, we've looked at some, even some of the cosmetics. A lot of the more expensive cosmetics have higher levels of some of these carcinogens that have been shown to cause breast cancer in animals.
Unbelievable.
It is. We have a little breast cancer news on our website if people click on it because they did. They released the name of all these chemicals to the public. But even starting out as a chemistry major in college, it was hard navigating it. So we went through and we tried to figure out some common products that they're in and you know, alternatives a little bit that our grandparents mentioned. We don't recommend any specific alternative products, but going green's not a bad idea.
Right. Dr. Lynn Eldridge has been my guest today. This fascinating book, Avoiding Cancer One Day at a Time, Practical Advice for Preventing Cancer, and also a lot of other problems. This is something that is easy to read. I'd recommend you have a pencil, a paper, take notes, share it with your friends, and also go to their website, avoidcancernow.com. They've got all kinds of resources for you there. Lynn, thank you ever so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Donna, for your conversation and your compassion and interest for your viewers.
Absolutely,
your listeners.
A fabulous book. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break again. Dr. Lynn Eldridge, Avoiding Cancer One Day at a Time. Get the book. Go to her website, avoidcancernow.com. You can get more good information. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, And by the way, I want to give out that website for Dr. Lynn Eldridge and her brother David, and it's avoidcancernow.com. I can't tell you how much it means to me when I'm able to bring people into the media format so that it can be shared with you, the listening audience. When I get material and I'm reading through them, and there are so many people I've known through my life that have suffered problems with health because maybe they were ignorant or the physician was ignorant, and we need to understand that it's important for us to ask questions and not just put people up on pedestals because they wear white coats. I listened to a physician who is very much involved in nutrition and has his name is Dr. Budweiser Hawkins, and he had a white coat on a hanger behind him. And he said, when I go and I put this white coat on, it automatically gives me authority, and all it is a white coat. He said, I am automatically imbued because of the indoctrination of people. When I put this coat on, I'm supposed to be almost like a god. He said, I'm not. I'm merely a man. And I've spent over 31 years of my life studying medicine and nutrition and asking questions. And he said, I don't have all the answers. But what I do have, I'm happy to share. Now, how many times would you hear a professional make a remark like that? Not many. Because the garb is what we get caught up with. We watch so many things on television or whatever. Always remember, the person you're going to is a human being. And if they're good at what they do, if they're a good doctor, if they're a good nurse, if they're a good holistic alternative support person, a therapist or whatever, they're going to want you to have the best of what they have to offer. And if they don't know the answers, they're going to, by golly, find somebody who can help you. Because that is the way it should be. And in our world of specialization, sometimes people get so involved with their specialization, they forget to look at the whole picture. They'll just look at a arm or a head or a foot. They won't take into consideration the mind, body, spirit, essence, experience, working environment, all of these various things that people go through. And this is something we need to remember. We need to remember that we have to take charge. Ask questions. Read. Be open to new information. And don't be afraid. You may not agree with everything. That's good. Be a skeptic. I don't care. That's healthy. But don't be afraid to ask a question. It's taken me a lot of years to learn that. A lot of years. And believe me, I've had my own experiences, and I will tell you, I ended up developing dysplasia, which is a precursor to cervical cancer. I had to have two surgeries because of a doctor giving me too much in the way of hormones. This was a few years ago. And when that happened, that threw my body chemistry wacky. I learned later that doctor had his license taken away. A little bit late, but that was something he eventually was held accountable for. But who knows how many thousands of patients were affected in the process. So it's important that we know ourselves and that we're willing to ask questions. And for myself, in my own experience, I stopped going to that doctor, went to another one, and they said, well, this, I don't recommend that at all. It's too dangerous. This is the latest research. So we have to be willing to explore, and we have to be willing to express our concern. And if someone just says to you, it's all in your head, find another doctor. Find someone else. You want to be able to have someone that you can talk to that's going to take that time to communicate with you. It is important. After all, you're special. I want you here. Yeah, by the way, saying special, we've now got the telephone lines open, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, Canadians, give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And internationally, you can call in on 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And, oh, I am so excited. I do have to tell you. I was out setting up my booth at the Washington Renaissance Fair location at Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. The weather is spectacularly gorgeous. And this acreage, I mean, we've got acres and acres and acres that this Renaissance Fair is done on. And everybody's beginning to set up. They started a week ago. And so my husband and I were out there setting up my booth, which is on Main Street, and we were putting up our big golden banners with the red lions and all of this stuff. And I'm telling you, it was hot out there. And it was absolutely exciting because I learned of all of these wonderful performers that are going to be coming in. Now, this is an event that I've participated in for years now. I just love the people I work with, and it is so much fun. We have tens of thousands of people that come out every weekend. And the first three weekends in August, and the first one is coming up day after tomorrow, well, that's what we're going to be involved with, and it is just absolutely super. And it's going to start at 10 a.m., going until 6 in the evening. So 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can go to their website and find out all of the information about the group passes, etc. And that's Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. And I'm telling you, the entertainment, they have got a wire walker that is going to be out there. Just all kinds of things going on for the kids. Fabulous food vendors that are going to be joining us this year. And it is wonderful. So pick a weekend. Why not make it each and every weekend? We'd love to see you. You're not going to be able to do everything in one day. Why not come back a second time? Special passes if you do. So go to Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. And again, my booth, I have the large golden banners with the gigantic red lions on the front, and you will see that. Just come on by, say hello. I'm doing little mini consultations. In addition, there will be some books that will be for sale there as well. But there's so much there to have, oh, just a wonderful time with. And I'm going to have a lot of special stories to share with you during the next 3 weeks. So again, the first 3 weeks of August, the first weekend is coming up, is Saturday and Sunday. So we want you to come on out. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 is our U.S. of A number. Canadians, 888-815-9756, and also 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're delighted to have you as part of our listening family here at bbsradio.com. And all I need from you is your first name or initial. That's all. And then after that, let me do my thing, and then you can ask a question about anybody that you like. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Grant Langdon. Scandal in the courtroom. This is a true story. Justice does not always happen in a courtroom, and we're going to be hearing that story tomorrow. And then next week, we're going to be talking about we're going to be talking about how you can make money on the Internet. In fact, his material is titled Internet Riches. And then Paul Davis, are you ready for breakthrough? You broken hearts, you. Well, if you've had a relationship, you're just crying over it and you haven't been able to get past it, well, Paul Davis is going to be able to help you with that. And then messages, evidence for life after death. George Danzel has put together some wonderful, wonderful information, all documented. Then we're going to have a former space astronaut, Dr. Graveline. He is a science researcher and is deeply committed to areas of health. He's going to be talking to us about statin drugs and their side effects. This is one of the most well-written books on statins that I've ever come across. Also, Topher Morrison is going to be my guest. Settle for excellence. Hey, that's a good thing to do. Settle for excellence. These are some of the guests we have coming up. I don't want you to miss any of them. Don't forget, the shows are archived now, and so you don't have to miss one of them. When you're working on your computer, you can put the Donna Sebo Show on in the background, and we're going to be there for you any time of the day or night, right here at bbsradio.com. Also, I wanted to let you know I am going to be in San Francisco on September 14th and 15th, and there will be more information that I will be giving you about being in that area, special events, special happening that's going to be coming up, and I will be letting you know about that. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you're interested in letting me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227 or Canadians 888-815-9756. Also, a direct line of 530-876-3222. Well, I have this cute story that I came across, and I thought this was just too good to pass up. And it's about following his motivational talk at a Weight Watchers meeting. One father's son noticed a little boy climbing onto a scale. He was the son of one of the members that was there. Well, he had an older brother, and his older brother said, "Don't go on that, Joey." Well, Joey looked at him and was just like, "Well, why not?" He said, "It makes people cry." I love that. Ah, yes, scales can make you cry. They can make you cry. Also, I wanted to share with you a little bit of trivia on some of our common expressions. Mitchell Simons is a man who absolutely is fascinated with phrases that people use. And he said, "I thought I would do a little bit of homework. I wanted to find out why we decided to adopt certain phrases." Well, we've all heard someone say, "Oh, that couple, they're going to be tying the knot on XYZ day." Why do we tie the knot when we get married? Why? Well, knots have been a common metaphor in marriage ceremonies all over the world and through time. And we're going to take a break, and I'm going to give you more information on this in just a moment. So don't you go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo here, and give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. Now, we started to talk before we went on break about tying the knot. These are phrases. This is one of many phrases that so many of us are familiar with. Now, the expression tying the knot means to unite in marriage. It shows up in many examples of couples literally taking all of this nuptial knotting to heart. Now, in the Hindu marriage ceremony, the groom ties a ribbon around the bride's neck. In ancient Rome, the bride wore a girdle or belt that was tied in a knot, and then the groom would then unfasten it on their first night together as husband and wife. So there's a lot behind these little sayings. Some of them are considered rather trite by a lot of people. Now, what about the whole nine yards? He's gone the whole nine yards. We've all said that at one time or another. Well, one of the most common sources for this expression is military. During World War II, U.S. fighter planes in the South Pacific were often equipped with machine gun ammunition belts. And these belts, when stretched out on the ground, measured approximately 27 feet. If a pilot fired all his ammo at a target, he was said to have given the whole 9 yards. This next quote I was really fascinated with. I've heard it so many times, and I had no idea where it came from. Well, he did the research, and it's the statement, "It's not over till the fat lady sings." Where did it come from? The expression is usually phrased as, "The opera ain't over till the fat lady sings." Now, it all got started, apparently, as a popular saying, when it was used by the San Antonio Express News sports writer Dan Cook in 1976. So it's not that old. 1976 to indicate that a sporting contest wouldn't end until time was called. In using such a colorful metaphor, Cook was assuming that in every opera, a soprano, usually amply proportioned, would sing an aria at the very end. Now, this expression that Cook utilized spread when he became a television commentator a few years later, and it really took off when he used it during the National Basketball Association playoffs between the San Antonio Spurs and the Washington Bullets. Dick Mota, the Bullets coach, repeated the line himself, cautioning commentators against calling the game prematurely. It then became the team's rallying cry. It's amazing how these things evolve when you would have thought there might be different origins, but that's where they came from. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 877-876-5227 or Canadians 888-815-9756. And we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. If you are like me, this time of the year, if you are like me and have blueberry bushes, you're going outside, and if the birds and squirrels haven't gotten to your beautiful blueberries, which this is the first year when they haven't been scarfed up by somebody, usually we're lucky if we get two or three off of our bushes. Well, this year we have gotten quite a few. Blueberries are delicious, and they are absolutely wonderful for you. Now, here are just a few quick tips regarding blueberries. Blueberry syrup, if you want to make up a quick batch, you can heat blueberries with maple syrup and then pour them over your whole grain pancakes or waffles. Also, if you'd like a blueberry spread for your bagel, for your toast, for whatever, who cares? It's fun to have it. All you have to do is mash blueberries into softened cream cheese. And if you wanted to use fresh blueberries right out of your garden or ones from your friendly grocer, then you cover the top of a store-bought cheesecake with blueberries and then brush it with melted apple jelly. It will create a glaze and that additional sweetness is just wonderful. And this one is really good. If you're a salad person, and I love salads, you can have a double blue salad. And what is that? You take fresh blueberries and blue cheese. Yes. And put it with your favorite salad greens and drizzle it with balsamic dressing. Balsamic dressing along with the blue cheese. Ooh, and the blueberries. Yum. Good stuff. Well, this is Donna. We're almost out of time. And don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Grant Langdon, Scandal in the Courtroom. You're not going to want to miss that. Also, don't forget the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. I want you there. I'm going to be there. Come by and say hello. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's a good day to be alive. I want you to take good care of yourself. Hey, you're special. And you make my day special, too. Bye for now. Talk with you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Om Swaha Tat Savitur Varinam.